Welcome to Medroom Chronicles. Join nurses and other care providers as they let you in on discussions usually reserved for the privacy of the locked medication room. In this weekly nursing podcast, the filters come off and we tell it like it is. Your hosts, nurses Adrienne Benning and Andrew Craig, are here to educate and entertain on all things in the nursing world. This podcast is intended for nursing students, nurses, nursing assistants, and other care providers. Non-medical folk will probably get a kick out of us too. If you like what you hear, subscribe and share. Happy nursing, folks. Good day to my Medroom Chronicles community. It is Adrienne again, back and in the middle of my staycation. Even though this is my spring break, I'm still trying to be productive. And so this week, I am bringing you a conversation that I had with my friend Allison, who you might remember from maybe several episodes ago. Today, we're talking to her about a number of things, including idiopathic vertigo, as well as getting accepted into nursing school and all of the feelings that come with that. Let's go ahead and just jump right in. For your
vertigo, etiology unknown. It was really funny. The doctor brought the, the dumb little wiki diagnosis sheet that they give you these days.
Yeah.
He brought it in and it was in French. And I was like, unless my vertigo is like really bad, I think that's French. And he was like, that was a test. It was like really cute. It's like sometimes it prints in French first. I don't know why. Anyway.
You're like, I'm pretty sure my head's messed up, but I know that's not the language that I read. That's and good. I'm glad. Yeah.
And I had to be like, I need a copy of my labs, please, immediately. Because I'm a pre-nursing student and I'm just really curious about that.
You're like, I need to take this to class and discuss this, like show and tell.
I just realized that I don't have to call myself a pre-nursing student anymore. Isn't that exciting?
You're officially... Oh, yeah. Okay, so I want to officially, for the purpose of an appropriate recording that I can share with the masses, this is an important day in the life of a nurse. This is the day that my friend Allison got into nursing school. I'm going to insert some celebratory noises.
I know, I can shake my pills. Shake my pills.
I need to kick Mac out again because apparently I didn't close the door and I texted Doug to come get Mac, but Doug only checks his text like once every 18 hours.
You should just scream at him. He make you drowsy. Do not drink alcohol with this drug. Is it truly like an insane, go ahead.
No, I was going to say this day has been a really interesting one for you. I want you to lay it out for our listeners.
This is the day.
So first of all, everyone, this is my friend Allison. You will recognize her voice from the Adventures of a Proto Nurse, Part 1 and 2 from Season 1. But she's back again today to share this crazy fucking day with us.
Yeah. Well, I've had like really bad vertigo since Saturday morning. I literally woke up and I was like, is this a hangover or is like something really going on here? And it was definitely like super bad. So I've been like bedridden pretty much all weekend. I have not like left my house, which is terrible. And then today I had to take the day off from work and I was like, all right, I'm going to get this checked out. So I went to the day clinic and
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I was going to say, I never know what's worse, being sick on your days off or having to take time off to accommodate being sick. Both are pretty awful, but
I would have preferred to be sick during my weekday just because like I have plenty of sick time and like I lost an entire Saturday and Sunday to just literally like laying in bed watching Frasier, which like isn't that bad. I mean, it's okay because like being with like the characters of Frasier makes me feel like really, you know, I'm comforted. They're like my people.
This is why we're friends because I was watching Frasier before we hopped online. Doug's off today and Doug came into my little dorm room here where I record and was like, you wanted to watch your own TV shows.
Yeah, exactly. Frasier is definitely my show. My partner does not. He like enjoys it, but not the same way that I do. But anyway, I was cruising on a great streak of Frasier, like late season 3, very, very good streak. A few really great episodes in there. The Buttons and Bows episode is really good. There's also a BB Glazer episode. So, like, anyway, I was having...
I love BB so much.
She's great. As much as I was having a great time just, like, not having a life and just watching Frasier while, like, you know, trying not to move my head, it sucked. So then today I went into the day clinic, got in right away. Luckily, my copay for that is really low. And I was like, it was kind of one of those things where I was like, you know, this vertigo, which is now, you know, causing me nausea and like all kinds of bad stuff. Like, this is bad enough that it's now like provoking, like I'm having panic attacks because it's so bad. So I'm like, maybe I should go to the ER. But then I decided I'd just go to the urgent clinic because the ER, they're always assholes if they're like, you shouldn't be here. You know how that is.
And technically, I mean, it's not an emergency unless you think you're having like a stroke or something.
Right. And I wanted to both be seen right away, but also be respectful that, yeah, it was pretty serious for me. But like the day clinic, they got me in like pretty quickly and good. They ran. Yeah. So I had like an okay experience. I took like an hour to get my labs and my urine test back, my blood and urine test back. And so I was just like freaking out. I was like, all right, if it's, you know, cause like, I think the physician, when he did all, like he did basically assess me and, you know, did all these neuro tests, looking in my eyes and watching me walk like a drunken fucking fool. Cause I couldn't walk. No. He was like, let's do basically a sobriety test. And I was like, I can't do this. Anyway, it was awful. So he actually like, seemed pretty stumped. But then when the labs came back and nothing was weird, which took forever. So I was like trying to figure out what the last things I wanted to do before I'm going to die. I was like, well, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to
You're writing out your will on a paper towel.
Yeah, I need to go eat pad thai in Bangkok. And I need to like go eat pho in like the north of Vietnam. And I need to like...
Oh, sure the bucket list.
Make sure I need to go eat a croissant in Paris. And like I definitely need to, you know, like go eat pasta in Rome. So all these things. And go, you know, just like, how am I going to live out the rest of my life? Nobody can fix me. And then he came back and he was like, you know, you have vertigo, etiology unknown. I had him print off my lab.
By the way, I'm going to drop a $20 word on you, which you may already know.
Okay.
But in the nursing world, we would call that idiopathic.
Oh, okay.
Vertigo.
Okay. Idiopathic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to empower you now that you're a nursing student. You're higher. You have a higher expectation to meet. Okay. Right. Please continue.
No, that's fine. And then so he was like, he was nice. And like, I've only seen a couple doctors since I decided to go back to school for nursing. But like, I usually tell them just because I'm like, I'm kind of like a type A anyway. So whenever I'm like, yeah, I know my summer is circular canals, I fucking get it, whatever. I like try to explain why I'm being such a maniac. And it's just, I just studied that, or I'm really curious about it, or, you know, I'm hoping to go into medicine myself. And they're usually pretty gracious, you know, about it. And so like, you know, he printed out my labs for me because I was like, I want to look at that stuff. And like, I really want
to, by the way, were you at a teaching hospital for this? Was it a clinic that's like a teaching clinic? Like, do they have like students or
not
interns?
This, yeah, like not this one. It's part of a really large chain in the Twin Cities where tons and tons of people go to learn, but it not specifically a teaching place itself. And everybody I had was just, they were just all medical professionals having a normal day. They weren't teaching anybody. But anyway, he humored me and like gave me my labs so I could kind of dork out on those. I know. And then I was like, okay, so I took the fucking Zofran right away. I was like, as soon as the pharmacist handed me the bag and I paid for it, I was like, this is going on my tongue right now. Because I know that Zofran will work right away. It's dissolvable. And nausea is honestly like the main thing about vertigo that I was just like, and actually it's funny, I've been like this for 3 days. And the first day I like, you know, barfed a couple times because I just couldn't like handle it. It was like too upsetting. And I realized after taking the Zofran how like it was kind of sick, but like how used to being nauseous I had gotten. Because once it went away, I was like, wow, that was like 70% of the problem. But like I just like became desensitized to it, which is really like just goes to show you how destabilized you can get and just... As if it's like the frog in the boiling pot, like you just kind of...
Your body has to compensate for these things. So you're right. Yeah. And sometimes those compensations, you know, in your case, like it's not like suddenly you're going to crash from this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when your body compensates for so long, eventually you're exhausted and then bad things happen. In any case, I'm sorry that you're experiencing vertigo. I really wish I was there to kind of giggle at you, you know, kind of stumbling around.
Yeah,
but it really does suck because it kind of traps you. It does kind of trap you. Like,
I mean,
You've got stairs. Yeah. You've got.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, it's been, you know, I haven't left my apartment in 3 days, so that sucks. On just a basic psychological level, that sucks. But like,
it does.
Yeah.
It when you want to and you can't, or not even if you want to, but when you know you can't. Suddenly you have to. Suddenly you're like, I have to get out of here.
So yeah, so I decided today to go get help. I got help. I obviously feel a lot better having gotten the help. Hopefully this is like fairly short-term vertigo. I have both kind of some medicine to stabilize my inner ear is how he explained it. And then I have obviously the miracle drug Zofran. I have so many Zofrans. I'm keeping these in stock.
What did you say the other medication was? I'm going to look this up real quick.
I just took it, and it is called Meclizine. Meclizine. I think it might be some kind of...
Meclizine.
I mean...
All right. So this is... Oh, so this is basically an antihistamine.
Yeah.
And it's used for like motion sickness and stuff like that.
That's basically how it was explained to me. In fact, before I decided to go get treatment, I was like, should I go buy Dramamine or something? What the fuck is happening to me? Anyway.
So yes, it's a histamine antagonist. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it's working for you. Well, I'm glad that the Zofran is working for you. Zofran, right. AKA ondansetron. An interesting thing about Zofran is that when you give it IV, you have to push it kind of slow, like over, I think, 2 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Because if you slam that shit into somebody's IV, I don't know if it would happen quickly or if it would happen over time, but it can actually cause hearing loss.
For the record, it can also cause QT prolongation, which you definitely don't want.
Oh, wow.
So when you're given that IV Zofran, you know, make sure students and new nurses push that shit slow.
Are you talking about permanent hearing loss? Or temporary?
You know, let me... My understanding is that it can create damage, but let's see. Let's look up. This suddenly became like a pharmacology lesson.
So to continue the story while you look that up.
Yeah, please do.
I've had this like horrible, insane day, horrible weekend and day. You know, I didn't get a weekend. I mean, I got a Fraser weekend, which is something. But anyway, I just feel like oh my God, just feeling, and you know, it's that thing too, where you're like, you're not well and you come to just appreciate being well so much, but you're also like, I'm not really sure when I'm going to be well again. It really makes you kind of realize how able-bodied you are when everything's kind of working, and it makes you just appreciate that. And I was like, man, this sucks. Like, I don't know when, you know, just, it's just a huge bummer of a weekend and a day. Anyway, and it's raining too, which is kind of gross. But anyway, I get
it's March, which sucks.
Smarch. Anyway, so. I refer to it affectionately as Smarch. It's a Simpsons thing. But anyway, I get home. My partner drops me off. He was gracious and obviously took off work to come grab me. I was like losing my mind. Like, I got to get help. Anyway, it's dumb to put off help when you have health insurance and you can afford the copay. It's just stupid. Anyway, so he drops me off and he's going to go get like food because I haven't really like enjoyed eating in many, many days. And so he's grabbing tacos because we're really stereotypical white people who live in South Minneapolis. so he's going to grab tacos and he's going to go to the liquor store to get some beers for himself because he drinks beer. I can't drink beer right now. Drinking beer sounds like the worst idea in the world. Anyway.
Yeah,
it's horrible. Anyway. And I'm like, okay, I'll check the mail. And every day, what do? When I'm waiting for my nursing school application, I'm checking the mail and nothing. And I kind of knew when to expect to hear back, but it was supposed to be the first week of April, like probably at the earliest, because that was when that would be if the faculty waited until the deadline to get stuff done, which if you know anything about faculty, and I do, I work in higher ed, they don't fucking do anything early. They only do things when you're basically twisting their fucking titty. So anyway, I get home and he's like, oh, I already checked the mail today. There wasn't really anything that I left the pile in the kitchen. I get home and what is in the pile? But
the letter
from the school that I applied to, which I'll just keep that private. And I opened it up quickly and it is a conditional acceptance letter to the graduate program that I applied to.
So explain to folks listening, maybe that haven't gotten into school yet, what that conditional, that condition is.
Yeah. So it's nothing, nothing to worry about. A lot of people think conditional admission is like a bummer. And I know like waitlisted or, you know, there are conditional admissions that really are like, we might have a spot for you and we might not. But this is just saying that because they have like 9 prerequisites, and I've only done like six of them, that I have to have the other three done by the time school starts, which I'm actually taking all three of those right now. So I'll be done with those in May, and I'm currently, you know, getting good grades in all three of them. I think I have to get a B or a C in them, which at this point I'm like, I have senioritis really bad, because I've, as many people who've gone into the field know, if you've gone back to school for it, you've been fucking, you know, you already did your normal school, and then years later now I've been doing school for like going on 2 years now, and so I'm just like getting kind of burned out. I have like prereq senioritis, so I'm going to do my best.
On top of the fact that you already have a bachelor's degree for those.
And I work 40 hours a week.
And you work in education, so you're literally never away from it. It's never far
from it. I'm just using my brain all the time. Maybe that's why I got fucking vertigo. My brain's just like, it popped. I popped a crystal
you
in
broke.
The semicircular canal. It just like popped out of place. So this is a conditional letter of acceptance. If I pass my three prereqs, which I'll just tell you what they are. Right now I'm taking medical ethics, nutrition, and like kind of higher level statistics. So not like stat 101. It's basically like a higher level. Right now what I'm taking is basically statistics for healthcare and social sciences. So really, learning a lot about how to kind of validly or, you know, appropriately crunch data for social and medical sciences. Finish all of those. With obviously a good passing grade, then my acceptance is not conditional. So
fantastic. Yeah. So yeah, it's just a matter of time. So are you planning to start in the fall?
Yes, it starts in the fall only.
And so I don't want to rehash too much, because we did talk about the program a little bit in the last conversations we had, but
and I have no idea if anybody's actually interested in listening about it, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, I mean, that was
if
rude.
They're not, they can Nobody's just like interested. They can click over to like Mark Maron or something if they really want something more entertaining. But so this is an exciting time, because that letter, you've been waiting on it for what, like 3 months essentially? And
yeah.
So, you know, you had to write an essay, and they have like a million things to read and to look at. And so this day is actually really, really anticipated. And so this is a big victory. And I think that on this process, because there's so much that's daunting and there are so many uphill climbs and there's so much work and things to learn, I think that it's important that you celebrate like every single victory.
Absolutely. And two, like in case any other students are listening, like if you got into your programs, I wish you all the best and congratulations. You must feel like fucking incredible right now. And for people who didn't, or you're not sure yet, you know, you'll make it. Just keep waiting, or keep doing what you need to do.
Yeah. And you know something I would like to say, you know, I've been a nurse. Let's see. It'll be 2 years in July. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. 2 years in July. And I thought that it was going to be forever. Like, I felt like it was going to take me forever to get this work done. But you know, everybody, it's easy to look back and be like, oh, that was easy. But, you know, it is kind of like giving birth. Like when I was in nursing school, I was like, this is so horrible. Why does anyone do it? And other nurses were like, it'll be so good when you're done. And I'm like, how can you say that? This is so horrible. And now I'm like, I barely remember I remember there were horrible parts, but they're more abstract to me now.
And now I hear about your horrible parts as a new nurse. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Well, here's the thing. I'm kind of laughing at you because it does suck, but also it has to be hard because when you come out on the other side, you're going to be, you know, taking care of people that really, really need you and whatever, wherever you land, whatever field you're in. So, you know, it's a huge cliche and it's on memes everywhere, but I think it's really important. And that is that, you know, you're, unlike other jobs, you're not studying for the test. You're studying for the day when your patient needs you to save their life. So that's a lot of pressure. But also, you're already learning things and you're already kind of assimilating yourself to the nursing world. You're already listening to my, like, nurse language talk and totally, like, right there with it. So you've got a leg up. But yeah, so this is exciting. You've got to finish your prereqs. And then others that have listened before know that because you have a bachelor's already, this is actually like an accelerated master's program, so to speak. So in this next few years, you're going to achieve your RN, your BSN, and your MSN all in kind of one mm-hmm. fell swoop.
And it's not an advanced practice medicine, so, obviously, but the things that differentiate it, I don't know if we talked about this last time, the things that differentiate it just as a accelerated master's program is obviously people in it already have a bachelor's degree, but there's just like a little bit more graduate instruction in certain fields. So that kind of preps you for clinical lead. You know, if mm-hmm. and when that becomes an appropriate career track for you, you're kind of already ready to go. And so you're doing kind of like advanced informatics, public health, and some of the, basically the public health, the informatics, and some of the non specifically clinically things, but skills things, you just kind of get a little, and the research too. So like nursing mm-hmm. research, you get a little bit more kind of tight methodology and instruction in that, because it is assumed on their part that a pretty large chunk of the cohort, and it's a fairly small cohort, and it's all one cohort, so we'll be together for 2.5 years, so that's going to be real interesting. That's another topic. it is assumed that, you know, a fairly large chunk of them may want to go into advanced practice, so you are getting some of the more academic researchy stuff. And they actually does shave time off of this very same school. They have an NP program. So they have a, you know, PhD program for those who want to go into advanced practice, which I'm definitely interested in. I mean, we'll see what happens, but anyway, it shaves having the master's degree from them shaves time off of the advanced practice degree, which is nice. Cause they assume that, you know, since you did that program there, they can basically, they understand, and all those credits kind of shave some advanced study time right. off, which is cool.
And, you know, in hindsight, I wish I had gone for an RN to MSN program. Mm-hmm. However, I really wanted a degree from the school mm-hmm. that I'm attending now. And even though, it, you know, you can argue how important that is over time and money in the grand scheme of things, but mm-hmm. that's why I came to this freaking town to begin with. So I figured mm-hmm. I might as well finish up what I came to do, even though it's taken me 18 years, but who's counting, right? I came here 18 yeah. years ago to get this degree, and I'm going to have it in December of 18.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it'll be technically 19 years because I came here in 99. So the 19-year bachelor's degree, oh boy.
But in the meantime, you're working and you're getting tuition reimbursements, right? Important. And yes, that's good. I'm not getting any of that. I mean, granted, I only started a couple years ago. And so I'm, you know, my beginning to ending time frame for this whole deal is a lot more crunched, but it's also very expensive. I can't work. Or at least they say you can't work at first until you kind of figure out what you're
that
doing.
That is very true.
So I'm looking at, you know, really just becoming a completely kind of financial loss for a while. But
and
hopefully,
you know,
that'll pay off
soon. You know,
soon.
I was as well. You know, it's different for you because you already have a bachelor's. I came into this not having a bachelor's degree. And right. so, you know, a lot of people have asked me, or I've chimed in on message boards, like when people are like, what should I do? Should I get my RN or should I get my BSN? For me, the answer was absolutely get the RN first mm-hmm. because I couldn't afford on my own, right. Even with loans, to kind of go through after the course I'd taken in my youth and the mistakes mm-hmm. I'd made. I couldn't right. afford to do a BSN program, but I could afford to get my RN and then start working and then use that combination of tuition reimbursement from my employer and the salary that I was then earning mm-hmm. to pay for the BSN. So if you're, you know, I think if you're non-traditional, kind of like we talked about before, or I should say a traditional student, you're coming right out of high school or you're mm-hmm. in your early 20s and you're starting a program, then by all means, use your loan money smart if you need it and finish your BSN. Get it done so that you're not working and doing homework like I am.
The flip side for me on that is like this is actually faster than going to like the community college for
right.
2 years and then getting
and for you,
RN,
totally
MSN, or RN,
sense.
BSN. So this is like my
yes,
fastest
and this
way
absolutely
to get
out. Makes sense. Yeah. Absolutely. And so I have no, you know, everybody comes to this by a different route. And also for a split second, I was thinking to myself, man, she is going to graduate with a degree that's more advanced than what I have. And I've been in the industry a long time. But you also have
and
to
what
remember.
What a joke that will be, because I won't know half the shit you
well,
know.
Well, but it's not even that. that. Here's what I'm going to say. For the rest of the time that you are in nursing, whether you're a graduate nurse, an advanced practice nurse, whatever, you are going to be working with nurses of all levels of education.
That's right.
Some of them are going to have high degrees and they're going to be kind of dumb in kind of the grand scheme of things. And the opposite is true as well. You're going to meet people that have zero certifications or degrees behind their name. And yet every single time they nail it with great ideas. Right. So you have to remember that while these degrees are important and the skills are important, it's a, you know, you have to look at it from a number of different ways. Mm-hmm. But that's the beauty of it, is that you and I can work side by side and we're both going to have different things to bring to this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tell people as well, learn from your nursing assistants. There's no level at which you can't afford to learn something from someone else who may or may not be on a, like, quote unquote, lower level. You know, I don't want to say lower level. That doesn't sound right. Somewhere on the hierarchy that's of less authority than you. So, and I encourage you, as someone who hasn't worked in a hospital or a nursing home, mm-hmm. that as you go through, pay attention. Like, my first semester of clinicals was done in a nursing home. And even though I had been a nursing assistant for a number of years, I learned so much stuff from those nursing assistants that are just doing that all day long, every day, mm-hmm. 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's great that you have this opportunity, and you're also really fucking smart. And so it's really refreshing to me when I see people coming into the field and working on their education, and I'm like, damn it, you are going to be good. You just need some skills, but that's all any of us need. Like, none, you know, like, I haven't put in an IV in so long that I wouldn't dare try to teach a student how to do it. But if you want me to teach them how to draw morning labs, I can get it every time. Well, not every time. We've got some tough sticks. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be valuable even if you have a variation of education and skills. So I think that's really cool. And I'm really excited for you.
We already talked about, like, you know, working in higher ed and other backgrounds that I have are all going to be utilized, shall we say. I've never actually had to disimpact anyone's butt, but having worked in the fields that I've worked in, I think, you know, I'm not, those skills are all going to be very applicable too. So,
well, you know, worst case scenario, you run to the nurse's station where no one can see you and you Google it.
Well,
and I'm not encouraging anyone to Google manual disimpaction, because I can't guarantee what you're going to come up with. But I will say that, like, on our,
I feel like, you know, just pull the,
I mean, you could. I mean, you're a human being, you know what's going to hurt and what's not. Anyway, the point is that when I'm at work, the interesting thing to note, that within our computer system, we actually have links to MOSB skills. So MOSB is like a big, mm-hmm. you know, they do a lot of textbooks and clinical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, so MOSB, actually, we have links to that. So say it's been
really amazing, like interactive stuff, right? Isn't that
yes mossy? Absolutely. And so this is kind of like that. As a nurse, we use this as a clinical thing. You know, say it's really busy on the floor, I have to give an enema, I haven't done it in 2 years, which is true, I haven't done it since I was a brand new nurse, but I had to do a high low enema. But someone
what
said
is,
to me
what
like
does
this
high
guy
low
needs
mean?
So a high-low enema basically is for alleviating, like, a lot of gas buildup in the intestines. All and right. So it's just like a regular enema in that you insert a hose, you instill some, you know, soapy water. But then while you're holding the bag, you literally hold the bag up in the air and then you drop it low below the level of the patient, and mm-hmm. you'll see all of these bubbles come out in the bag. So it's essentially like helping mm-hmm. the air get mm-hmm. out of their abdomen. So if they're really, really uncomfortable, you can kind of, you know, expedite that process a little bit. But I had no idea how to do this. And the nurse that was helping me do it, who had, you know, worked there for a long time, she was like, well, you know, just to make sure we're both doing it right, let's look it up real quick. And we looked it up on MOSB, and it has like a step-by-step. First you do this, then you do this, then you do that. And the enema catheter has like a black mark on it mm-hmm. so that you know how far to go in, so that when that black mark reaches the level of the rectum, then you know you're in as far as you need to go. So these things, you know, even if you come across something in the field and you don't have time to ask somebody, you have resources like this. So you can be like, I'm going to figure it out myself. Then you can walk in and feel more confident that you're not just doing something to a patient that may or may not go well. So, MOSB. Gotta give a shout out to MOSB.
I'm definitely comfortable that I work in a library.
So I want to talk about some things that I want to do just some quick little Q&A for you since you're okay. A new nursing student. So what are some things I want you to start out with confidence. What are some things you know or are relatively confident you're going to nail going into nursing school? Like, what are some things you feel you've already got in your satchel?
Do you mean like clinical skills? Like things I can take into
clinical? Not necessarily clinical skills, but anything. Like, for example, as, you know, a seasoned student, you've got a lot of solid study skills. You know your study skills. Is there anything else that you're confident? Like, do you feel confident doing demonstrating skills in front of a room full of people? Do you feel confident, you know, like understanding pathos? Like what are some things that you're most excited about? Things that you're like, oh, I got this.
I'm like a pretty good student, both because, like, not to sound like a jerk, but I have like pretty good natural abilities. Like I can remember stuff and I can memorize stuff and I can integrate things. And like I've just been a pretty successful student for everything else I've done, including, you know, pre-nursing stuff, which I think is somewhat applicable. And I'm like pretty good with people. So talking to people sounds good. That's fine. I can talk to people. I'm not nervous about interacting with patients. I have like,
how do you feel about naked?
No, I don't mind that. I mean, I work in a library. Frankly, I see disgusting shit all the time. Like people might not
you
be
see
naked.
A lot of naked people.
Well, no, I just mean like I have to like people come really close to me to talk to me, so I have to see their gross breath. I have to smell them. I have to smell gross old man jackets that smell like pee. We have a lot of like homeless alcoholic people who are literally been chain smoking while wearing the same outfit for like 10 years. And so like a lot of those sensorial kind of things that have to do with like bodies that are not in a good state. I feel like I've been exposed to a lot of that stuff. And again,
so I understand the bodies sometimes stink and that it doesn't mean that you have to like,
I don't mind touching people. Okay, good. I don't have any phobias about that. I like gross shit. I like gross, disgusting shit. I love it. Love it all. So
I was so proud the day that you messaged me and you were like, give me some good gross Instagram accounts. And I hooked you up. Like I was just like, cruise my list, hooked you up with nursing patho, autopsy, pathology. Mm-hmm. Like, oh God, do I love Instagram? So much good stuff.
It's true.
Never did I think I'd be able to look at puppies and cadavers in the same feed.
My feed is fucking gross because it's like, here's some really beautiful ramen and like some beautiful tacos.
I can't look at it like, in public. Yeah, no. Yeah. And then like you scroll to the next scene and it's like someone giving birth.
And then here's like a crowning. And then like here's a Mrs. Ann Jemmy post of a guy who just like blew his entire face off on a motorcycle.
Oh, accident. Yeah, that was a good one. That was
that should have had a screen protector on it. It one should. Second. It should. One second. I'll be right back. Okay. Hey. I was talking to H.
Your acceptance letter? Conditional admission.
Just so I finish my pre-docs.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
You didn't lie?
I didn't know you got it.
It was in the pile.
Oh.
I also feel really busy right now. That's it? That's all you got?
Yeah.
Did you hear
How would you feel if he said that to you? No, didn't hear that.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
What'd I miss?
It's fine. Oh, just, I think he must not be that surprised or something, because he was like, yep.
Well, so I mean,
either he's just.
I had to muster that excitement because that's how I felt too. I was like, yep.
Yeah. Well,
I was able to get up a little more for you than Aaron was. I mean, he should at least shake his ass for you a little bit.
Right? Oh my God, this medicine has got me feeling dizzy as fuck. This is terrible. Why do I feel this way? It's supposed to get better. Fuck. So yeah, the tacos
move
are
slowly.
I know the tacos are here, so I'm going to eat in a minute.
That's
did
fine.
You have anything else you want to really talk about?
Oh, okay, so let's just finish it up with what are some things that you think are going to be a challenge for you, or some things that you feel like you need to pay extra attention to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That looks good. Thank you. Sorry, those are my tacos. Actually, it's a huarache. Do you know what that is?
By the way, I bought Mexican coconut ice cream today because when I was growing up near Chicago, there was this little old man that used to come around with his little push cart with the bells on it, and he would sell coconut and banana ice cream. Yeah. And this isn't anywhere near as good, but I was like, delicious. I need some of that. Yeah. So yeah, just those couple things that you need, feel like you might need to work on a little bit more than.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's just going to be a lot of discomfort and a lot of fucking crazy shit and a lot of like times where I'm feeling overwhelmed in a way that I haven't felt before. That's just a given. I'm a little like apprehensive about this cohort deal, not because I don't really have social anxiety about making friends in new groups, but the idea of just like I'm strapped in a crazy roller coaster with 30 people who I didn't like, I don't, you know, didn't, I'm not choosing
you
them.
Have no idea who they are even now, right?
And like oh, this is a dessert fork, I'm not gonna eat with that, thanks.
I think that is your personality in one single thing. That's a dessert fork. I'm not going to eat with that.
Not flattering at all. Nurses cannot be.
I love you.
Thank you.
In any case.
But anyway, cohort stuff. So I'm hoping that, you know, there will be people in my program who are not just like boring kind of tofu white, you know, suburban people.
Right. And that's fine. You might be surprised. I started my program with the attitude of like, I'm not here to have friends. I'm here to better my life. Mm-hmm. I'm in my 30s and I ended up having such a good time with the people in my cohort. Mm-hmm. So you can't get lucky. I gravitated towards like the older kind of strange students. Yep, so
for sure.
More power to you to find the old weirdos in the group.
Yeah. And like, I'm definitely, It isn't that I won't get along with people or anything like that. It's just, I have like, you know, my own particular deal that I'm not going to like go on about because it'll sound really, really conceited and rude.
and when you're used to surrounding yourself with people that have the ability to talk about a wider range of things, it does seem a little restrictive when you go back to a situation where people have no idea what the things are that are most important to you. So,
but the truth is that I have met a lot of cool people in my prereq classes who are like, a lot of them are older from very different backgrounds and not just kind of like your traditional kind of like just boring kind of white people. That's been good.
Which, by the way, for everyone listening, we are both white and we just don't like boring white people.
Extremely white, but like I feel like we're semi-white aware, which is nice.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a kind of concern.
And you know what? If you do come across young women that are like that, you can be a badass influence on them. So
it's true. I'll corrupt them.
Please do as much as you can.
Yeah, and of course I definitely am not going to act like I'm completely competent, awesome, and that I'm like super stoked to like do procedures in front of like, you know, 30 people watching and a professor or whatever.
Right. I mean, everyone has shit to learn, and the uncomfortable spaces are where you grow. So it'll be good. I look forward to talking to you more as this journey continues and as you get deeper and deeper into the life of nurse. So. Anyway,
this, anti-emotion sickness medicine has me pretty woozy, so sorry if I was just really rude.
No, you're great. As always, great. I adore you. I'm going to let you go and eat your tacos and tell Aaron I said hello, and we will talk again soon.
Okay, bye. All right,
good night. Happy nursing.
Thank you. You too.
Here at MedRoom Chronicles, we may be uncensored, but we are not unfiltered. Protected health information has been changed and concealed to comply with HIPAA of 1996. The things we talk about are combinations of years of experience with thousands of patients, things we've read, stories we've heard. If you think we're talking about you, trust me, we're not. Also, we're real nurses here to provide accurate and helpful info, but don't take us as fact without doing your own research. Refer to your state's Board of Nursing, Practice Acts, and your institution's policies and procedures if you have questions about your practice. Lastly, our very strong opinions are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers or educational institutions. Thanks for listening, and happy nursing, guys.